Gandhi Kata. Versión original. Módulo 4. El despertar de la gente y la marcha de la sal. Segunda parte.
Now I jump a little and tell you a story about something that happened in 1932, although I started with 22, 10 years later. Well, I will be talking about many other things in between later. There was a meeting in Bombay. Mumbai is the original name of that city, perhaps as large as Mexico City. But during the 1932, there were always meetings, and the British government obliged the Satyagrahis by issuing ordinances every other day about some kind of restriction. You can't wear a white cap. If you wear a white cap, you could be arrested. You can't say, "Long live the revolution," you could be arrested. Something like that, because those were the symbols of struggle for freedom. And one of the acts which occurred very often was disobeying the law of preventing the assembly of more than four people at a time. If four people come together, that is an illegal meeting, and all the four can be arrested. So every day, or every week, I should say, masses would come and assemble on a plaza. So one such meeting was going on, and the police came and surrounded them. They started arresting. This is an illegal association. They could be arrested. And they arrested one woman and asked her to come to the police van. So she said, "Well, you are arresting other people. I shall get into the van." As a Satyagrahi, he would not refuse to go to. She would not do that. But she said, "I needed time. I will stand here by your van." And from the standing there, she was looking around, saw someone, and beckoned that person towards her. This man was a stranger to her. So he was wondering why she had called him. But he was sure she was calling him. So he went there and again asked, "Did you ask me to come near you?" She said, "Yes, of course I asked you to. Please come. What is it that can I do for you?" She said, "I had come only to attend a public meeting. And I had not come prepared to be arrested. But this is usual. We can be arrested and they are going to take me to jail. I am willing to do that. But I have my golden earrings and my golden bangle." So I took them out, my ornaments, and put them in my handkerchief. And this is the bundle of my golden ornaments. My name is such and such. I live in such and such area. Would you kindly give these golden ornaments to my family?" So this man says, "I have met you for the first time. You don't know me at all. And you are entrusting me all your golden ornaments. What if I take these golden ornaments to my own house instead of yours?" Absolutely confidently, the woman said, "No, that cannot happen." "Why? Why not? You are a stranger. You are giving me all these ornaments." "No, that cannot happen." "But why?" he asked. "Because you have khadi on your body, and one who wears khadi cannot be dishonest." That was the prestige of khadi-wearing people that Gandhi had led through supporting the khadi industries. We'll now hear a song about khadi. The main refrain says, What right have I to wear all these khadi, all these clothes, when so many people have very little to wear?
क्या अधिकार चाह के मैंने मोलनी गरीबी वस्त्रों का कर दिया परिहार। चाह के मैंने मोलनी गरीबी वस्त्रों का कर दिया परिहार। जिनकी सेवा हे तुम्हें निकला उनका सा कुछ बनूं इस बार। मांगली मैंने गरीबी मेरा है सिंगार। मेरी गरीबी मांगली मैंने गरीबी मेरा है सिंगार। मम अंतर के तार मिलाऊं उनसे जो बैठे लाचार।
क्या
उनको यदि उद्यम दे पाऊं स्वयं उठाए जो अपना भार। उनको यदि उद्यम दे पाऊं स्वयं उठाए जो अपना भार। स्वराज का असली सुख चाखें जब आजमाए निज ओ जा।
There was a master strategy in the non-violent freedom movement that Gandhi led for 30 years. Although the strategy was unintended, it was not a planned strategy at all. It came from Gandhi's intuition. It came very often as a result of deep contemplation and prayers. Every decade in Indian history between 1917 and 1947 had one national campaign which touched almost all areas of the country and which was instrumental in awakening huge masses. But that happened in 19, between 1919 and 1921, 1930 and 1932, then again in 1942 and 43. In between, there was a gap of between 8 to 10 years in each. For a country of 300 to 350 million people to have an agitation every 10 years, and the agitation would not last for a long time, it would mean that in between the two big campaigns, people would probably get frustrated. What was it that continued that tempo in between these big agitations? In between every big agitation, and I must say that all these three big campaigns, national campaigns, if we look at them in a sense objectively, but also superficially, they were all failures. The non-cooperation movement, which started in 1919, had to be withdrawn by Gandhi. In 1930, the movement had come. Later, it came at a stage when Gandhi said, I will be the only person who will be non-cooperating, and others can do whatever they like. But he had recommended that they went to villages and did constructive work. 1942 movement was not started by Gandhi. It was imposed by the British by arresting all the leaders of India. And that continued for a few months. So such big movements which did not succeed, how could it continue the tempo? In between these two movements, between the 20s and 30s, or between 40s and 30s, there were several small movements. And if I can use sociological term, they all had small but achievable goals. They were for some, these three movements were for national independence. But the other movements were for some specific goals. For example, yesterday I mentioned a movement which happened before 1919, but that was the farmers of Champaran. It had a particular goal. There must be an inquiry about it, and Gandhi succeeded in getting that inquiry. In between these two, there were at least half a dozen movements which all succeeded. And the success of these small movements empowered the people to start the next movement, which was national and which was always larger than the former one. That was the second step. I would say that came earlier than the movement, larger movement. And the third step, and I'm saying them into the wrong order, they succeeded, the small but achievable movements succeeded because all of them had constructive work to support them. People went to hundreds of thousands of villages and worked them, served them, gave them employment, gave them empowerment. And it was because of the backing of these masses that the national fervor continued. Now we come to a story which was perhaps a masterpiece of Gandhi's strategy. That was the Salt March of 1930. During 1928 and 29, there were very few instances of violence, but there were some instances of violence, especially in northern India. And Gandhi was worried about them, but his strategy to work against that violence was, let us have a much larger non-violent movement so that people will not indulge into small incidents of violence. And in 1930, January, the Congress passed a resolution saying that we shall have civil disobedience, a national civil disobedience campaign, and the leader, it would be led by Gandhi, and he was given the authority to fix the date, fix the people who would be joining him, fix the method of action, everything Gandhi was authorized to do. So some of the media people called it Gandhi given dictatorial powers to decide all those things. So they came and asked him, what is your strategy? What are you going to do? You have been given all powers. When are you going to start? And Gandhi said, I am thinking deeply about it. Things are getting clearer in my mind, but I am not absolutely sure at present. I am deeply praying, and I am quite hopeful that God will guide me, and then I shall be able to show the way. So some clever media persons interpreted that as Gandhi's political statement. They said, Gandhi is a great diplomat. He doesn't want the British government to know how he's going to start the movement. So he says that it's not clear, and that's how he gives his excuses. So Gandhi had to write an article in his paper saying, truth is my only diplomacy. There's no other diplomacy. Because I am not absolutely clear, I am saying I am not yet clear. But I'm also at the same time saying that I am deeply praying, and God has never failed to grant me what I have prayed for. So ultimately, Gandhi wrote a letter, unusual type of letter, because as I said, on the first day, he was in the habit of writing postcards as far as possible. But this was a several pages long letter that Gandhi wrote to the Viceroy, because he had been announcing that we do want to give freedom to India, but India is not yet ready for it. But we do want to do it. So Gandhi said, well, you have been claiming that you do want, but you must give us at least something that would give us the assurance that you are willing to do what you are saying. And we can believe, we would be able to believe you if you can do certain things. And then he gave a list of 11 points. If you do one thing, if you do other, all these 11, if you meet these 11 points, the country will be willing to take it for truth. Otherwise, we are still doubtful about your statements. Out of those 11 points that Gandhi wrote to the Viceroy, majority of them were of economic reforms. But the fourth item in that was the abolition of the Salt Act. The fishermen and the people living on the seashore, they could not make salt out of the salt water, which was right in front of their houses, without paying taxes to the government for that. And Gandhi said, we are going to, if you don't accept these 11 points, I might start a civil disobedience with that. March the 12th, 1930, was the date fixed for the actual action part of it. And the action was to start a march beginning from his own ashram at Sabarmati to the seashore in the southern district of Surat, Mirabhen or Miss Slade, who was Gandhi's British disciple, in her autobiography has described the night before the 12th of March, the night between the 11th and 12th of March. And she said, all the inmates of the ashram that night were kept awake all night through because they were expecting the government to come and arrest Gandhi. They wanted to be there present when Gandhi would be arrested to say goodbye to him. And only one person was fast asleep during that night, and that person was Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi. He said, we are going to start the march only tomorrow. Why worry about it today? I said, I can very easily rest tonight. And as usual, he got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. But the march was to start at 6:30 or so. And he was ready and dealt with some of the correspondence, etc. But by 6 o'clock, he was ready. He looked at his watch and he said, there still is half an hour more for us to start the movement or to start moving. So if there is half an hour, and today we are going to have a long day, I can go to sleep for 29 minutes. I must tell you that at that age, and even later for some more years, he was 62 at that time, and until he was 75, Gandhi had almost a complete control over his sleep. So when he said 29 minutes, he meant 29 minutes. And there was one person who was very happy when he heard that Gandhi had decided to sleep, and that person was Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, who had a little quarrel with Gandhi about one idea of the march. Because to Nehru, the word march had some military associations. So he said, he called Gandhi Bapu, which meant father. Many of Gandhi's close associates called him Gandhi or Bapu. He said, Bapu, I am excited that you are organizing a march and I am all for it. But what is going to be your uniform? How can you have a march without a uniform? Some of your inmates that you have chosen to accompany you have very long clothes, while you have very short ones. Some of you, them, are wearing long coats, and you have not even a shirt on your body. What about your uniform? Gandhi said, well, I had not thought about a uniform, but tell me, those who are wearing long clothes, are they made of khadi? Yes, of course, they live in your ashram. How could it be anything but khadi? The clothes that I am wearing, are they khadi? So Gandhi, Nehru laughed. So you are asking me an absurd question. So Gandhi said, khadi is my uniform, that will do for me. I need not have any special type of khadi as a uniform. But then he was happy because Gandhi was asleep before starting the march. And he had some badges, Nehru had some badges with him ready, so he asked all the marchers to wear them on their chest, and he stitched one of the badges on Gandhi's shawl that he would have wrapped around his body while Gandhi was asleep. But Nehru had failed in calculation, and he did not realize that 29 minutes and half an hour had 60 seconds in between. And Gandhi was awake at 29 minutes, and he immediately noticed that somebody had done some mischief on his shawl, and he knew who was the mischief maker. So he put his chadar or his shawl the other way around and put it in such a way that that could not be seen. So these were some practical jokes they used to do. They were a happy family of father and son in that sense. But there was some tense movements as well before they started the march. And one of them was with the women of the ashram. Gandhi had prepared a list of people who would be walking with him, and the list was that of 79 persons. And out of the 79, there was not a single woman in that. So my mother, along with some other women of her age, and in Indian languages there are special words for various relationships, and if a woman is your mother's sister, she is called Masi. And so all these, my Masis, they took a small deputation of, say, about 8-10 women to Gandhi. A few days before the march started, Gandhi was spinning. And when he actually was spinning, he would not notice if anybody came, so probably they had to make some noise to break Gandhi's meditation. Gandhi just asked by gesture, "What is it you have come for?" So they said, "Bapu, you could not find a single woman in the ashram who was fit to join you in your march." So Gandhi had his very mischievous smile. He had that mischief in his eyes also, I can say that. And he said, "Oh yes, I knew this question would be coming. If you had not asked me this question, that would have surprised me. I knew you would ask me this question. But I have done it on purpose. I don't want you to join.